Great Scott. It's time for the Geek News with J-Stu and K-Stu.
News team, assemble!
All right, welcome to another exciting, fun-filled edition of the We Got the Geek Newsroom. I'm here with K-Stu.
I'm here.
Some interesting news to get to this week. Of course, we have the box office. We'll find out if our box office predictions came true from last week.
Right. I don't remember what I predicted.
We predicted Fast and the Furious, Star Trek at 2, Hangover at 3, Iron Man at 4.
We didn't agree.
I thought we did.
Did we? No. I don't remember.
Well, that was my picks. So
it was too long ago.
Whole week.
No.
So we'll have that for you momentarily. We will also have the birthdays and the geek calendar. So, did you see the, I guess maybe you haven't seen it yet, the pictures of Andrew Garfield in the Spider-Man suit playing basketball with some kids in between takes?
No, I was too busy watching Andrew Garfield on Doctor Who.
I guess he wandered off the set in the Spider-Man suit and found some kids and started playing basketball with them, dressed
that
like Spidey.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it is. He's a diehard Spider-Man fan anyhow. Like, he loved the character and... I guess he bought Tobey Maguire bootlegs back when they were selling them on the street in New York. So he seems like an all-around nerdy dude like us. Except he actually gets to make out with Emma Stone, whereas we don't.
All right.
So I thought that was cool and a little bit heartwarming. There was a gigantic rumor earlier in the week that almost blew the minds of every geek around. Sony was talking about selling off some of their franchises. One of them was Resident Evil, who really cares, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're nice movies, I don't know. But then there was a big, gigantic rumor that they were going to sell the rights to Spider-Man back to Marvel Studios. So, can you imagine? Not that Sony's done a bad job with Spider-Man, most of the films have been good. I can't imagine what Marvel would begin to do with that property, like integrate him into the Avengers, maybe? Like, how cool would it be to have Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man in an Avengers movie?
Yeah. Yes, please.
And I found out something interesting, actually. But, of course, Sony denied it and said, no, there's no way we'll ever sell Spider-Man. Like, it's too much of too big of a moneymaker for them. I did find out something interesting that I did not know about. Marvel and Disney do have the TV rights to Spider-Man and the X-Men and the Fantastic Four. So, technically, they could use those characters on the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series with Agent Coulson.
Uh-huh.
I think there might be a few small details about likeness rights. So... For example, if Spider-Man was on, they might have to have him in the black suit instead of the red and blue suit.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Maybe they would give Wolverine a costume instead of having Hugh Jackman-looking dude on there. But I thought about that, and yeah, last year on the Avengers cartoon, they had Spider-Man, they had the Fantastic Four. So that's a nice little wrinkle, I think.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Spider-Man's teaming up with Coulson on the cartoon all the time, on the Spider-Man cartoon.
Because he is the principal.
Yes, he's the principal in that little land of... And Nick Fury, Samuel Jackson-looking dude is on the Spider-Man cartoon, too.
Yep.
So, that's interesting, right? Also interesting, and I can't believe they're doing this, seeing as how the first one bombed so hard, Will Forte confirmed that they're filming MacGruber 2 this summer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The first one made, I want to say, $2 million? Not that much? I remember going with you to see it, and there was maybe three people in the theater, and two of them were us. But I guess they're talking to, like, everybody about coming back, Kristen Wiig and I can't remember the dude's name, Reese Witherspoon's ex-husband.
Ryan Felipe.
Blew my mind. You know what? Get Richard Dean Anderson in a cameo. He's MacGruber's father, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, do I have anything else for us? Well, not really. So why don't we just get right to the main news?
Okay.
and I will let you start.
Okay, that means I have to open my news.
Yes, that would be a big help.
So Steve Forrest, the actor who played Lieutenant Dan Hondo Harrelson in the 1970s TV action series SWAT, has passed away on May 18th. Forrest spent almost six decades on the big and small screen. He will be remembered for roles in the movies North Dallas 40, Mommy Dearest, and 1985's Spies Like Us. His final role was in 2003. He played a truck driver in the movie remake of his hit TV series SWAT.
Yeah, I remember him from Spies Like Us. He was one of the government agents that purposely hired Chevy Chase and Dan Aykroyd to fail.
Yeah.
He was the head security guy in that. So, that's sad.
I don't know who he was in Mommy Dearest.
I'm not sure either. But John, our friend John Mary would know him from SWAT, the show, the TV show, because he used to play SWAT at recess. Everyone remembers the SWAT theme, too.
Everybody played SWAT at recess.
Yeah.
That was the thing to do, man.
I remember it when I was a kid. I couldn't tell you one thing about it. We did see the movie, though. I remember liking the movie. Samuel Jackson, Colin Farrell? Yeah, Colin Farrell. Also, one of Jeremy Renner's first movies was SWAT.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Hawkeye and Nick Fury together 10 years ago in SWAT.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Did we really need a remake of this news? Universal Pictures will film a remake of the Jean-Claude Van Damme time travel action film Time Cop. Time Cop was released in 1994 and then spawned a short-lived 1997 TV series on ABC. Guess there was a direct-to-DVD sequel with a new cast as well. The original movie grossed $102 million globally. It was set in the near future where time travel is regulated by a police force. Now, here's my thoughts. Did you ever see Time Cop?
No.
I know you're not a big Jean-Claude Van Damme film
fan. I am not.
Neither am I. I was dating someone at the time who loved the dude, so I got dragged to all his movies. Time Cop, I will say, though, great idea for a movie. It sucked that he was the star of it.
Yeah.
And his police chief was Bruce McGill, who you love as well.
No, I do not.
But great idea for a movie. Like, there was people illegally going back in time. I do remember the scene in the movie where it was the Civil War, and all the soldiers were walking around, and someone comes back from the future with a machine gun and starts shooting them all.
Yeah.
Cool idea for a movie. Maybe it'll be better now that he's not in it. And it was based on a comic book by Dark Horse as well.
Huh.
Did not know there was a TV show on ABC. I don't remember it.
I can't say that I do either.
Maybe in the break we'll find out who was Time Cop on the ABC series, because I would be interested to find out.
Maybe, maybe not.
And I'm pretty sure at one point in the movie he uttered his phrase, "I'm from Quebec," which he said in a lot of his movies. He's Belgian, though, is he not?
Yeah.
Oh, and it was one of those movies where he did the splits.
Right.
Because that's what he did. And he had a mullet, I think.
Of course he did. It was the 80s.
And his wife, who he had to go back in time to save, was Mia Sara from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Great tagline, though. His wife died 10 years ago. There's still time to save her. Which I thought was kind of clever.
Okay.
Bruce McGill, though. And the evil villain of it was Ron Silver. I know too much about Time Cop.
Yeah, you do.
Very sad. All right, what do you got for us?
Well, Tom Cruise has dropped out of the movie adaptation of The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Darn it.
Cruise was going to portray American agent Napoleon Solo opposite Armie Hammer in director Guy Ritchie's film, but according to The Hollywood Reporter, his deal was never closed, and now he has walked away from the project.
Aww.
So now I can see The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
I did a little further research on there. I guess I didn't write it down there.
You did not.
George Clooney had also been up for the Tom Cruise role.
All right, then.
So, I think, did you mention Armie Hammer as the other dude that's in it? I never watched that show. You ever seen it?
No.
It's a spy agency, I'm assuming.
My mom watched it. It was before my time.
Yeah, it was the 60s, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Well, ABC has made some announcements about the fate of a couple shows we're interested in. I don't know about our listeners. I do know that you were watching 666 Park Avenue, the show that had... I can't remember. Who's the actor that played John Locke?
Terry O'Quinn.
Terry O'Quinn.
It took me that long to think, because I'm like, John Locke?
And Vanessa Williams was there? Okay, so you were watching it and you were into it. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was... Like, it was interesting to see where they were going with it.
Yeah.
And, like, there wasn't any real closure. And I know it's not done. Like, they're going to actually play them unless you're going to tell me otherwise in the news, but...
Oh, I do. I do have details about it. There's 4 episodes left. The remaining episodes will start airing Saturdays from June 22nd through July 13th.
Okay.
And apparently... I guess they had enough notice that they could make a wrap-up series finale.
Because I hate when it's like, oh, and this will happen next year.
And you'll never find out, never.
Unless they come up with a comic book version of it, or Netflix picks it up.
Yeah.
Thank you, Netflix. I love you. I love you for Arrested Development.
Oh, me too.
Shut up.
We were also watching another show, which we found hilarious. Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23.
Yeah, that was funny.
So, there was 8 episodes left to be aired of that show.
Uh-huh.
If you never got a chance to watch it, try and seek it out, because James Vanderbeek played a really twisted version of himself, which was hilarious.
Yep.
So that's also returned, but not to television. ABC has put the 8 unaired episodes of Season 2 on its website.
Oh, okay.
So, it's free. And it'd be cool to check. I always laughed at least once or twice. And the ladies were easy on the eye. So that's too bad. Like, it was pretty funny. I liked it.
Yeah.
ABC's notorious for canceling shows.
Damn it.
Happy Endings, too. Rumor has it that they're looking at... If Happy Endings doesn't get brought back, because I guess other networks are looking into picking it up, they're going to try and get Damon Wayans Jr. back on The New Girl.
Really?
Yeah. Not getting rid of Winston or anything.
Better not.
They asked, is it Jake Johansson?
Yeah.
Yeah, they asked him and they're thinking about it.
That would be kind of funny.
Just that
is he going to live in the apartment too?
No. I mean, they
don't have room for him.
Right. Because Winston came back and took his room. Yeah.
Unless Winston's going back to Poland.
No, that guy's too valuable to the show. They would never get rid of him. They wouldn't get rid of any of the actors on that show. So there you have it. We'll finally get a resolution to 666 Park Avenue. And there's a way to see the last 8 episodes of Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23.
Yay.
Hooray. We probably have time for one more.
I only have one more.
Go for it.
Former 24 exec producer David Fury is set to rejoin the show for the new limited series Live Another Day. Fury will join 24 showrunner Howard Gordon as the first writer on the project. Fury was initially hired as a writer and a co-executive producer on the 5th and 6th seasons of 24 and later became executive producer for the real-time drama's final 2 years.
Okay, so it sounds like they're serious about bringing the show back and... We saw an interview this week. I'm going to butcher her name. Mary Lynn Rice Cub.
Yeah.
Who played Chloe. I guess she's getting tweets and messages from people saying there's no way they'll watch the show unless Chloe comes back.
No Chloe, no watchy.
Yeah. So she doesn't even know.
She was also on Arrested Development.
Mm-hmm. Was Kiefer Sutherland on it too?
Not yet. I'm not done yet, though. I got 5 more episodes.
I can't wait. That'll be summer of 2014. See Jack kill some terrorists again and yell, damn it.
And I can give you all this negative attitude you have against Arrested Development next summer. So there.
I don't have too much negative attitude.
I'm just kidding.
I know you are. It's funny. I will say that I saw some of it with you, and I did laugh at the fact that they're doing a Fantastic Four musical on Arrested Development. Which is definitely a shot at Fox, because Fox won't give up the rights to go back to Marvel, and I think they make a joke about it. And yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't even realize Fox was the one that canceled Arrested Development in the first place. So, yeah, they were, of course.
Because the one girl is supposedly Sue Storm from the 1994 movie. When she's not, because I looked it up. But they were out, like, selling autographs for $10. And then he dressed up like Reed Richards, but nobody was buying it. So then he dressed up like The Thing. And then Stan Lee sent his lawyers after him.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And he just kept getting served with papers.
So that was funny. All right, we're going to take a break. I have one more key news item to talk about, which I want to get Kath's opinion on. And then we'll hear about the box office and see if there's any surprises. So stay tuned right after this.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
A new spin on the traditional comic book store. Pulp Comics now has everything you need to get the party started. Our goal is to make it simple for you by providing a unique and innovative party space. Ample space, seating for up to 30 people, arcade cabinets and board games, and special appearances by superhero or sci-fi characters to make your event an absolute success. Various packages available from simple rental to the space to a fully featured epic party. Come see us at 4559 Queen Street in Niagara Falls. Call us at 905-353-0666 or visit us at www.pulpcomics.ca.
You'll be happy to know that during the break, we did crack the code and see who was on the ABC Time Cop series from 1997. Nine episodes, a whole whopping nine episodes.
I didn't even know I got that far.
The guy, the lead actor taking over from Jean-Claude Van Damme was a dude by the name of Ted King. We know him from nowhere. He's a soap opera dude. One of the police officers was Don Stark. You might know him as Bob Pinciotti from
That 70s Show.
And Kurt Fuller was another cop. He's been in a billion things. He's a character actor. We know him from Wayne's World, the movie. He was the guy who worked under Rob Lowe, who was... Give me the flashlight, Russell. That guy. My guys, you're my guys. So, there you have it, in case you were dying to know who was in that Time Cop.
I really was.
Inquiring minds want to know, as do I. And I do have one last story. I want to get your opinion on this. We talked a little about this in the car, actually. Let's see what you think of this.
What do I think?
Well, I'm trying to pull it up. I actually have a link. I didn't actually write it out. I have a lot of information on this puppy. So, do you remember last week we talked and said that Joss Whedon had written a part into the Avengers 2 for the brother and sister team of Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch?
Yes.
Now, basically, they started off as X-Men villains.
Okay.
And then eventually, they did become Avengers, like, real early on in the series, like issue 16. It was a famous issue where all the Avengers quit except Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought in Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch and Hawkeye for the first time. Hawkeye was also a villain at that time. So there was Cap and three villains, three former villains.
Okay.
Never been a big fan of either of those characters. But I thought it was cool that he was going to bring in some obscure characters for the sequel. Now, the rights for those characters are a little iffy because, as you know, Fox owns the rights to the X-Men movies and all the heroes and villains from the X-Men universe. The head of Marvel did say a few months ago that the Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, there's a little gray area, though. Either company can use them for the Avengers or the X-Men.
Right.
Only thing is, if they were in the Avengers, they can't say that they were mutants, and they can't say that their father was Magneto, because Magneto is the father.
Okay.
Big, popular X-Men character. So, okay, they're going to be in the Avengers. They'll have to come up with a new origin for them. Fine, I get that. That's kind of decent. So, a couple days ago, director Bryan Singer, who's directing the upcoming X-Men Days of Future Past, is currently filming in Montreal,
okay,
coming out next summer. He tweets, before he was an Avenger, he was just really a fast kid. Thrilled to say Evan Peters is joining X-Men Days of Future Past as Quicksilver.
That's just so horrible.
So then I read about it, and of course all the fanboys' heads explode. One guy tweets, okay, they're allowed to use both Quicksilver. They're allowed to use those characters in Avengers and X-Men.
Yeah.
What if this is like a real cool way to collaborate? You know, have the first crossover between another film company.
Would be cool.
And they brought that up because last year when Spider-Man came out, they had the storyline with Oscorp. That was the company that created the Lizard.
Yeah.
They were trying to get the Oscorp building into the Avengers, but they came to terms too late and they couldn't do it. So, okay, that's a cool idea. So that was quickly shot down because a message came through saying, this is not a collaboration between Marvel and Fox. This is not a situation where the two different companies are working together to try and create a sense of a larger shared world. In fact, if either of them could get the other to back off, they would. Bryan Singer has designed a sequence that he feels only works with Quicksilver, and Joss Whedon feels that there is a pressing reason for Quicksilver to show up in the Avengers 2.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're going to get is two totally different versions of one character. Not even the same actor, which would be cool, too. It's going to be two different actors.
Yeah.
First of all, seriously, Quicksilver? He's, like, obviously a cheap Flash knockoff. Ugly gray costume with a lightning bolt across it. And weird white-looking hair.
Okay.
So, first of all, let's examine that for a second. Quicksilver's going to be in two movies, but for the Flash is in one?
Yup.
And do you think that Bryan Singer did this to just stick it to Marvel? Or what do you think?
Maybe. Kind of a douche move.
Well, yeah, kind of. Like, he's bringing him in for one sequence, and
yeah.
Joss Whedon wanted to make him a major character in the Avengers. Now, I mean, on the plus side of it, they can say that he's a mutant and that he's Magneto's kid.
Yeah.
On the negative side, do you think people are going to go into the Avengers 2 thinking, what the hell?
Maybe.
I
mentioned it in the car. People that aren't geeks enough, aren't geeky enough, had a hard time deciphering Green Hornet and Green Lantern.
Yeah.
So now you're going to have the same character in two separate movies.
Yeah.
That aren't connected.
Mm-hmm.
Not helping to recruit people into the geek world. Hello.
Like, seriously, Joss Whedon, there's been hundreds of Avengers. Like, use one of them. They're more interesting than Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch. Wonder if he's going to, like, have to rewrite his whole script now. Because I guess there's a first draft of it out.
Crazy.
And, of course, Bryan Singer's already filming. If this was a done deal a couple months ago, they would have said, hey, Quicksilver's in the movie, but this comes a week after Joss Whedon announces it. And it's crazy.
Yeah.
Cool. In all fairness, Quicksilver did make a cameo in the Wolverine Origins movie a couple years ago. So, wait a minute. Quicksilver's in three movies before the Flash gets a movie?
Yeah.
That's something wrong about that. I don't get it. So, I guess we'll wait to see how it implodes in the next couple of weeks, man. Because the geek community is not happy about this.
Yeah. I'm not happy about it.
Quicksilver. And I don't want to give out too many details because it's gross. But if the Avengers movies and all the solo movies are kind of based on the Ultimate versions. For example, Samuel Jackson is the basis for Nick Fury. And the aliens and the Avengers with the Chitauri, which are all from the Ultimate line of Marvel Comics.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hope they're not going that route with Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, because they're a little, well, they act in ways brothers and sisters shouldn't act in that series. So not a good thing.
Luke and Leia, episode 4, episode 5?
Worse than that. and there's this whole spiel where they're trying to explain this to Captain America, who's just come out of the 40s, and yeah. Anyhow. So, digest that for a second there, Internet. Anyhow, now that I'm done venting, I hope you have the box office ready to go.
I do have the box office. Are you surprised?
I'm very surprised. The thing I like to ask you every week we do this now, is it one of those awesome, funky box offices where we get the top 96
Sorry, it
movies?
Is not.
Oh, because 96 always makes like $1.50. And...
it's like, congratulations on your $3. no, sorry, I only have 12 this week.
Let's see if our predictions came right then. And go for it.
Okay, so number one, Fast and the Furious 6. Did we predict that? I don't remember.
We did. That was the number one pick because people seem to love this franchise, and I read that it was the biggest opening of a Fast and Furious movie.
$122.2 million.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's not far off from Iron Man 3's opening weekend.
Yeah.
Which is scary, and there's a 7 on the way.
I think, I didn't read the whole article, but I think this has been the biggest, let me see if it's on here, the biggest Memorial Day ever.
Wow.
So, congratulations. Oh, no, I am looking at the wrong list now. I have Best Picture winners open.
Definitely not the Vin Diesel series.
Number two, is The Hangover Part 3.
Okay.
Made $51 million.
Now, I heard, and I don't have the exact figures here, that is a far cry from Hangover 1 and 2 numbers.
I'm guessing it is. So far, it's grossed $62.5 million.
So it's going to make its money back, at least.
Yeah, but I don't think it's doing...
Like, the second one, I think, made over $100 million.
Yeah.
I still want to see it.
Yeah. Star Trek Into Darkness is number 3.
Okay.
I made $48 million this week. Epic, at number 4. That opened up this week. That's the kids' cartoon.
My prediction is all sorts of wrong, then. I got number one right.
Iron Man 3 is number 5.
Okay. So, quick aside, Iron Man 3 is now the 5th biggest global moneymaker of all time.
Wow.
The only movies ahead of it are Avatar, Titanic, The Avengers, and one of the Harry Potter movies. The final Harry Potter movie.
One of them.
So, it could make it up to number 4, probably.
Yeah, it's not done.
It's not done.
And I think, like, being at the beginning of the summer helps.
And not to mention the fact that everyone in the world saw The Avengers, and they want to see what these characters are doing next. Do you think Thor 2 is going to have a big opening like that?
I don't know.
Because the first Thor didn't, but... I mean, that was before The Avengers.
Totally have Conan O'Brien in my head right now, sorry.
I'm Thor.
I'm Thor. I don't know, like, I know I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah, everyone is.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if everybody is.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different kind of movie, and it's got one thing the Iron Man movies didn't have, and that's Robert Downey Jr. as the... Well, I mean, let's start that over again. The Iron Man movies had Robert Downey Jr. in the lead, who's just an amazing... lead actor in a franchise. Chris Hemsworth's just starting out, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, well, we won't know till September.
I don't think there's going to be any Coulson in this one.
No, no son of Cole.
Anyway. number 6, The Great Gatsby.
Okay.
Number 7, Mud. Number 8, The Croods. Number 9, actually tied for number 8, is 42.
Oh, wow.
Number 10, Oblivion. 11, Oz the Great and Powerful. And number 12, Pain and Gain.
All right.
So, The Rock is in 2.
Now, the competition this week will be the new Will Smith movie. I can't really think
The Rock is in 2 of the top 12 movies.
Wow.
There's something wrong with that.
After Earth is the Will Smith movie that's out this Friday. Yeah. They could have some competition from that. And then Superman's coming up real soon, as is Monsters University. So it's going to be a crowded summer.
Yep.
Okay. So...
So that happened.
There's your box office. Maybe next week we'll have a top 96.
Oh, I do like those weeks.
Yeah. So when we come back... We'll give you this week's geek birthdays, and we'll have the geek calendar as well. So stay tuned after this word.
Hold on, true believers. There's more We Got the Geek after these words.
Face front, true believers. John Ballmer is an independent artist and illustrator. He has contributed to several indie comics published by Alterna Comics and more, and is able to draw in many styles and genres. John also does commission work in sizes ranging from 3 by 5 inches to 11 by 17 inches and even larger. Add some original art to your personal collection or surprise someone with a drawing just for them. Check out his work at drawnbyjohn.com and his Facebook group, Drawn by John, The Art of John J.C. Ballmer.
All right, we're back here in the We Got the Geek News Studio for this week's news, me and Case do.
We're here.
So, we have this week's geek birthdays. So, today, May the 27th, it's Count Dooku's birthday, Christopher Lee. Also, happy birthday to Jack McBrayer from 30 Rock, and he was Fix-It Felix, I believe.
Yeah.
And Lee Merriweather, the original Catwoman, who's going to be at Niagara Falls Comic-Con this year.
Nice.
As well as Adam West, the Batmobile and the Batcopter. Tuesday, May 28th, happy birthday to a guy we had the pleasure of interviewing a few years back, Mr. Townsend Coleman, voice of the Tick, voice of one of the Ninja Turtles, and a million others. Great guy, one of the best interviews we ever did.
Yeah.
And one for you, happy birthday to James Michael Tyler. Gunther. Gunther from Friends. He was able to have that job because he actually knew how to change a cappuccino machine, which I found hilarious. All right, this Wednesday we have comedian Daniel Tosh. We also have Clifton James. You know who he is?
Clifton James?
Yeah, no. We saw we reviewed two of his movies recently.
Have we?
Yes. He was the redneck sheriff from two James Bond movies, Live and Let Die. And, yeah, he's still alive, too. Live and Let Die and The Man with the Golden Gun. Which I don't understand why they threw him. He was on vacation and just happened to pop into James Bond. And, "You're that English spy from England." That was the line I remember him saying. And Stacy, if you're listening, happy birthday to Lisa Welchel, who played Blair Warner on The Facts of Life. Recently on Survivor. Makes me laugh. Alright, on Thursday the 30th, we have, well, happy birthday, honey.
Thank you.
It's your birthday.
True.
Thank you, God, for making Kathy on May 30th. Now, you already know some of the people that share birthdays with you. You want to go over the list? And I got some new ones for you this year.
There's Mel Blanc, the voice of Bugs Bunny.
Classic. And Tweaky on Buck Rogers.
Yep. He's voiced everything.
Oh, Barney Rubble, even.
No offense, Mr. Townsend Coleman. Yeah. And Mel Blanc is like the grandfather of all voice actors, pretty much.
Oh, he's great.
And then there's also Winona Judd.
Yep.
And then there's also Stanley Tobolowsky.
Stephen Tobolowsky. Bing!
He's been in a billion things.
He was in Memento.
He was in Memento. He was in Glee. And Groundhog Day, of course. And then also the character John Locke from Lost. They actually mentioned my birthday on Lost.
That's awesome.
I was very, very excited about that. And, oh, CeeLo.
Yep. CeeLo Green. I saw that one. I didn't know if you knew that one.
I just found that one out a couple of years ago, so I always forget him. But yeah, me and CeeLo. Yep, we're hanging out. We're Gemini babies. Oh, and my friend Alexis. Alexis.
All right, well, did you know that killer of TV series Ted McGinley also shared a birthday with you?
Damn it. He did not kill my birthday.
Technically, you can't say he killed Married with Children. That show was on for another 5 or 6 years after he joined.
And he was on...
he was on Happy Days for four seasons. Hope and Faith.
Hope and Faith was on for like 3 or 4 years.
He was the guy that did the screaming on the radio on Wayne's World 2.
I do remember that I told you probably the second or third episode of Mad Men this year. I had watched it overnight, and then I talked to you in the morning, and I was like, oh, they're going to cancel Mad Men. I can't believe they're canceling Mad Men. And you were like, what? Like, I had read this internet news and everything. And I was like, no, you got to watch this. And I showed you a scene It was Ted McGinley was in the scene.
Yeah.
Looking old.
And you loved him when he was Ace,
the photographer. I did love him as Ace, the photographer on the love boat.
Well, you missed out on the Stacy and I cast the Love Boat movie. We didn't do an Ace. Like, who would you think could play Ace if they did a Love Boat movie?
You need a pretty boy. You need a pretty boy in the role, so I'm going to go with Ryan Gosling just off the top of my head.
That's cool. It'll fit well with our choice of Steve Carell to play Doc Bricker.
Oh! No, you need somebody gross to play Doc Bricker.
So we have him. We also have Kevin Eastman, who is the creator of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on your birthday.
Wow.
Also, Colm Meaney, who was Miles O'Brien on a couple Star Trek series.
Okay.
He was also the a-hole agent in Con Air. And I got Alyssa Davalos, who was on multiple episodes of MacGyver as Nikki Carpenter. So, I tried to do my research. You already had most of them. So.
Yay, me!
So, happy birthday to K2. Send her out a lovely birthday greeting on Facebook that day. Don't
No, don't.
Or
it's
Twitter.
It's not announced on Facebook.
Or Pinterest. okay, so Friday, May 31st, Clint Eastwood himself. He's in his 80s, would not mess with the man. He still has guns of steel arms on him. And he could probably kill you.
Yep.
It's also Colin Farrell's birthday. We mentioned him earlier in the show. He was in SWAT. He was in Daredevil. He wasn't Hart in Hart's War, or he was Hart. Bruce Willis wasn't Hart.
He was Hart.
Okay. Never liked him until I saw him throw out the first pitch at a Blue Jays game and thought that was the coolest.
Yeah.
And Leah Thompson, the mother from Back to the Future. And she was in Howard the Duck and Caroline in the City.
Yep.
I had a little crush on her back in the Back to the Future days. Who didn't? Saturday, June 1st, we do have Morgan Freeman, who's in everything.
The voice of everything.
Pretty much. I'm drawing a blank. I know he's been in every movie ever. Dark Knight, the whole Nolan Batman trilogy. Also, Sarah Wayne Gillies, who played, why am I drawing a blank? She was the wife on The Walking Dead, Carl's mom.
Lori,
thank you. She didn't make it to the end of the season.
Spoiler alert.
All right, and on Sunday, June the 2nd, we have Dana Carvey. We have Zachary Quinto, who was, of course, Siler on Heroes and Spock on the new Star Trek movies. Morena Baccarin, who is on Firefly and Stargate and V. She'll be at Fan Expo this year.
And Homeland.
Also from Stargate, Jewel State. That's her birthday that day. And good old Dennis Haysbert from 24.
What a good geek week.
President Palmer, yeah. Very good geek week. I'm proud. I'm proud of our findings. Which brings us to this week's geek calendar, where we tell you what to watch, buy, pick up, read, all that neat kind of stuff.
So, Tuesday, May 28th is new DVD day. New DVD and Blu-rays. So we have Beetlejuice Season 1. The cartoon,
yeah. I never knew there was a cartoon until recently.
Really?
Our Teletoon Classic was rerunning the old series.
I knew it.
Wasn't Michael Keaton, I take it?
I don't think so.
No.
Dark Skies. What was that?
That was an alien movie that was out recently.
Oh. All right.
Possibly Felicity was in that.
Okay.
Possibly.
Doctor Who, 7th series, part 2. And Doctor Who, the Snowman.
That was last year's Christmas episode. They do the Christmas episodes every year. And then the 7th season was the one that just ended. Which, you're a couple seasons. You're on series 3 now?
Yeah.
And by series 3, we mean the new one, not 50 seasons ago.
No, not...
The David Tennant years.
Yes, that's right.
One of these days, I'm going to get to that show.
I like when you're in the room when I'm watching it, though.
I haven't been able to sit down and watch a full episode, but when you've had it on, it's been interesting.
Stephen Weimet was the voice of Beetlejuice.
Oh, okay.
By the way. Appears to possibly... Oh, born and raised in St. Thomas, Ontario.
Really?
Yep.
Cool. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Maggie and the Ferocious Beast. Remember Diana used to watch that one?
Yeah.
He did a voice on that one.
I remember that one.
Anyway. So Wednesday, May 29th, is New Comic Book Day.
And it just so happens I have the list here, Casey.
Good thing.
So why don't you kick us off this week?
The Uncanny X-Force number 5 with guest penciler Adrian Alfona, the co-creator of Runaways, or Alfona.
Oh, yeah.
Captain America number 7. Wolverine and the X-Men number 30, prelude to the Hellfire Saga. Avenging Spider-Man number 21. Chameleon Sanction Part 2 of 2.
I actually had you read Part 1 of that, so maybe I'll get you to read Part 2 as well.
Mm-hmm.
We also have Indestructible Hulk 8, featuring guest penciler Walter Simonson, who did a major awesome Thor run in the 80s, is drawing this one with Thor. X-Men number 1. This is the one where it's all the X-Men ladies on one team. Would that be something you'd be interested in reading?
Probably, because you demanded it. The X-Women finally get their own book. So why is it called X-Men? Why isn't it called X-Women?
They've got Jubilee, Kitty Pryde, Storm with the Mohawk from the 80s for some reason.
Cool.
And all the rogue...
Because it's
badass. The penciler is Oliver Coipel, who recently wrapped up Avengers vs. X-Men and did the House of M a few years ago. Amazing artist.
And Thor...
So, I don't know, maybe it'd be cool for you to check out.
I might pick that up. Might be my first X-Men book.
Brian Wood is...
The Ultimate Universe X-Men, but...
Brian Wood is the writer. He's actually the guy writing the current Star Wars ongoing for Dark Horse.
Okay.
That'd be cool to check out. We also have... New Avengers 6. Venom 35. It's Eddie Brock and Flash Thompson fighting side by side for the city of Philadelphia. Both those guys have been Venom at one time or another.
Huh.
We also have Game of Thrones 15. And give me one second.
Mara number 5.
Mara number 6. Oh, Mara, why do you get 2 issues this month? Oh, and a lot of DC annuals out. We have our Earth 2 annual number 1. Where they debut the new Batman of Earth 2. Spoiler alert, they did kill off the first Batman of Earth 2 a year ago in issue 1. It's a massacre. They killed him, Earth 2 Superman, and Earth 2 Wonder Woman, all in the first issue. So we're getting a new Batman back. Django Unchained number 5 is out, based on, of course, the Quentin Tarantino movie. G.I. Joe 4. I just like saying the title of this one. Hell Yeah, number 9. Red Team number 3. By the way, this is a short week. It's a fifth, what they call in the comic industry, a fifth week. So they just put out certain titles. Oh, here's a good one you can talk about.
Is it The Adventures of Superman number 1?
Yeah, this is a debut series with every issue is going to have different writers, different artists. Looks like there's a Bizarro story in it. Kim and Bev were really looking forward to this one.
Dark Avengers number 190, the final issue.
The secret of Dark Earth is revealed. This is a funny one.
Mudman number 7. He's the newest superhero in Burnbridge on Sea. He's cool, he's confident, and the public love him. The problem is, he's not Mudman. And Mudman number 8 is also out. And Mudman number 9.
Wow, this is wicked... Mudman. Super Dinosaur 20 and 21. It's a dinosaur who's super.
Dinosaur.
Bionic Man number 21. Oh, the very first annual for Adventure Time.
Yeah, it was fun watching you try to explain to Diana what an annual was.
Yeah.
So it's a trade paperback? No. They put out these special ones once a year.
Once a year.
So it's like a trade paperback?
The fun will never end in this special expanded Adventure Time annual. By the way, we bought her the Adventure Time trade graphic novel, like all original graphic novel, and pretty interesting story. I just read it to her over three nights, and mm-hmm. I liked it.
Cool.
This is a funny one. Title, The All-New Secret Skull Kickers, number one. That's funny. Oh, you better get caught up, young lady.
Oh, Archie number 644, Archie Meets Glee, part four.
Oh, look, Mr. Shoe made the cover in between.
The hit crossover concludes!
Concludes!
With his epic finale! Oh, my God!
It's not 12 issues like we thought.
High fives!
Oh, does that mean the zombie one will be out next month?
After half the Riverdale gang swap places with the New Directions kids, Archie must get everyone home and fast. Their worlds are about to collide, literally, and time is running out. Will Archie meet his counterpart Finn Hudson in the dreamscape in time to stop the collision? Don't miss the thrilling conclusion to Archie Meets Glee, the hit Fox TV series.
Well, you better get caught up, because issue 3 is still sitting in our bag at Mostly Comics. Oh, here's one you can talk about.
So we also have Catwoman Annual Number 1. It's Cat versus Bird for the Dark Heart of Gotham City.
Wow. Oh, wow, I didn't even know this was still around.
Dark Shadows Number 17.
It looks like it's based on the old one, not the Johnny Depp movie from last year, I want to say.
Elephant Men number 48 is out.
Fine in Private Place number 2. Wow, Futurama Comics 67?
Yeah.
There's a 6... Wow. Green Hornet Legacy 37? That was the series that started off as just regular Green Hornet, as written by Kevin Smith.
New Genesis number 1. The first all-new original comic series created and written by Clive Barker is here.
Here's the one I'm most excited for this week. Red Hood and the Outlaws Annual 1. Arsenal finally confronts Green Arrow. Find out what the feud between Arsenal and Green Arrow is about, along with secrets from Roy Harper's history. If you recall, in this new reboot, not really a partner of Green Arrow's like in the old reboot, and they just kind of in the first issue said, I don't like Green Arrow anymore, and They kind of showed him in a cameo in the Zero issue where he hired Roy to work for him at Queen Industries.
Mm-hmm.
So we're finally going to see what the big deal was, why these guys have been fighting in this new continuity. I don't think I like the fact they're not friends.
I don't like it one bit.
So there's a couple more we can talk about.
Smallville Season 11 Special Number 1.
I really should be reading that. He's actually in the Superman costume.
The Simpsons Summer Shindig Number 7. The Walking Dead Governor's Special CGC graded.
And last but not least,
True Blood Number 11.
Just in time for the series to come back in, I want to say July? June.
I thought it was June.
Is it June? Okay. You're not looking forward to it this year?
I am, but we don't subscribe to that channel anymore.
True Blood, June 16th.
There you go.
And by the way, June 9th, Falling Skies is back.
Wow.
A big, awesome ad for it in the Entertainment Weekly where they show new allies and new enemies, so it's going to be interesting. We're just going to wait to get all 10 in a row.
Yeah.
Okay. That is this week's comics for you, folks, so go down to your nearest comic book store, help them out. Buy some stuff.
So, Friday, May 31st in theaters, After Earth. That was the Will Smith one that you mentioned.
Yep.
And Sunday, June 2nd, The Killing Season 3 on AMC.
Wow.
We didn't see Season 2.
Well, we saw the first episode of it. It's on Netflix now.
Doesn't mean we're going to watch it.
No, we're behind.
My Netflix is full of Doctor Who and Arrested Development.
We're slowly getting caught up on our show. We just finished The Purgatory today. Hopefully Being Human later on tonight.
Yeah.
Finished The Simpsons, too. We had like a ton of Simpsons episodes on there. So my goal was to get it down to 100 shows by the end of August. And we're at 130? Something like that now? So it's not a lofty goal, I guess. So, that's the news for this week, folks. Just to add on to the calendar, in a couple weeks on June 8th and 9th, it is the Niagara Falls Comic Con. So, come on down. It's going to be interesting and cool.
And fun.
And fun.
Don't forget fun.
And June 16th at the Buffalo Marriott is the Buffalo Power Con. So, we're going to check that out, too.
Yeah.
We maybe hand out some cards there as well.
Yay!
All right, and just on a personal note, we hit 3,000 hits on our website today. And
thank
you so much. I'm extremely happy and proud. Does my heart good. Makes me happy. Thank you for your support. Keep listening. We appreciate it. And with that, before I start crying, I'm going to say have a great week. We'll see you next week here in the newsroom. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.